let me read for us again, 24 and 25. Says this: "This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. O Lord, save," or "do save. We ask you, we seek you, we beg. O Lord, do send prosperity." That is 24 and 25. Let's pray once more. Father, will you help us now in the study of your word now? Help us to, as your people, by the help of your Holy Spirit, worship you by listening carefully to what you have to say to us. So speak to us powerfully, personally, that we may, as we walk out of here, be different from when we first walked in. So Father, we lean on not our own understanding, but on you alone. And so we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, three lessons that we want to see that I didn't put in the bulletin for whatever reason. From here is, the first one is one day. Second one is joy of salvation. And the third lesson is prosperity. Okay? Prosperity. All right, so the first lesson, one day. Okay? I was told in seminary by my professors that when you're teaching out of the Bible, there are several things you're not supposed to do. For example, you're not allowed to kind of just go over the passages that you really like, because sooner or later, your people are going to get tired, and they're going to be like, "I heard this before." Okay, and also, we are also not supposed to teach out of a passage that really like bothers us or bugs us or annoys us. Okay, that's okay. So, verse 24 is kind of one of those verses for me personally, because of mistakes that I've made, and then as I got to learn the Bible more, and I realized what it is, and then I realized by just different reasons, mostly by, I think, lazy people, lazy Christians, and lazy pastors. People just kind of stuck at the elementary level that I was at. And so this is kind of like one of my, like, ugh. Okay, so I had to really wrestle with this passage because I had to ask God, like, "God, I really feel very passionate about this one point in this one verse, but is this just me kind of just being selfish and just kind of trying to, me doing my thing, or is this something that you really want us to know?" And I was kind of praying through that as I was preparing it, and I really felt like God was saying, "No, this is a legit point that we, the church, need to know, need to realize." Okay. And so, anyway, that's kind of like the background on this passage. Psalm 118 is one of my favorite passages in the Bible because it's pretty awesome. Jesus all over it. So one day. Okay, verse 24, "This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." If you, like me, have gone to countless VBSs ever since you were like a little kid, or you're a pastor's kid like Owen, right? Like, and you're just in and out of church all your life, you sooner or later you come to this passage. Like, when I was a little kid, I didn't even know where it was from. I just knew that phrase, right? Like, when I was at BBS, I remember one year, right, the teachers taught us this little story. Like, they would say, the first part, they would say, "This is the day the Lord has made," and we're supposed to scream, "Let us rejoice and be glad in it," right? Like, little bratty kids, right? Like, scream it, right? We didn't know what we were saying. We just, all right, you know? And then going to, like, middle school and high school, right, there was an old praise song. I was kind of hoping that Johnny would do it, but he didn't. But there was an old praise song. Right? "This is the day. This is the day." Right? None of us? Wow. That's okay. Never mind. Moving on. Okay? There was a song back in the day called "This is the Day." Right? Literally, it's just like two lines. Right? Che? Thank you. Right? You know that song, right? "This is the day. This is the day." Right? Here's my little kind of personal thing, but I want to kind of share it with you. Which is this, we read this passage and say, and kind of, we want to use that term, "this day," or "this is that day," and we want to kind of throw that on any kind of day, any random day, without any kind of thought, or it's kind of like, we say it to kind of tell ourselves, remind ourselves, you know, what God has done or what God is doing. Or sometimes I say it to myself. I say, oh, this is the day the Lord has made. To remind myself, hey, you know what? This is just a regular Monday, regular even Sunday. But it's not a regular Sunday. Because even today is a day that God made specifically for us. Right? And there are specific things that he wants us to know and learn about him. And there are specific things that he wants to say to us today. Right? And that's all, they're all true. It's all very, very true. Okay? But I would say to you humbly, as one who also kind of lived in this frame of mind for a long time, is that while that may be true, that's a secondary truth. Right? That's a secondary truth. What I learned in English class when I was in high school in the 90s, okay? I don't know if they do that now, but in the 90s, okay? My English teacher, I don't remember her name, but I was a troublemaker because I just slept through all my classes. But one thing I do remember from my English class is when you read something, sometimes you have something called a secondary truth and a primary truth. And what that means is secondary truth, like truth B, is true because truth A is true. You see that? I wish I had a whiteboard. Okay? So it's like, for example, it's like you could say Monday is hot, or Monday it will be really hot, right? Why? Because the sun will be out, right? You see that? Secondary truth, or what is it called? Dependent clause and independent. You can ask Nathan. He knows all the technical terms, right? I'm probably messing it all up, right? Dependent clauses and independent clauses and stuff like that, right? So what I'm going to call it is secondary truth and primary truth, right? Secondary truth is true because primary truth is true, okay? And so here, for verse 24, what I'm going to say is this is the day, the fact that we can use that phrase to any day, to any Sunday, and be that and make that be true is true because of a primary truth, which is ultimately simply that once upon a time in history, God picked out a day where this verse firstly applied. Okay? And with that day was when Jesus went to Jerusalem to die. And a couple days later, he came back. Right? So we can now in 2014, my mind's still stuck in 97, okay? In 2014, we can still say, this is the day the Lord has made, because about 2,000 years ago, there was a day when God picked out of history where Jesus came and died and came back. Especially that Easter Sunday, that first Easter Sunday. You got to remember, man, that's like crazy. Because this dude got beat up and messed up and hung up on a cross. You know, I'm a huge fan of history. And I'm very fascinated about the Roman Empire, Roman and Greek empires, and their way of life. And kind of the dark side of Roman society that a lot of history classes don't touch on is their execution penal system, right? Their justice system. The Romans were, man, they were messed up people. Like, they like to party, and they like to kill people. That's about it. Like, everything else in between is, you know? And so if you look at, like, Roman history, like, that's all they do. They eat, and they party, and then they kill people. Like, right? And so if that's all you do, then you're going to be really good at it, you know, eventually. And they came up with some really messed up ways to kill people. Right, and crucifixion is the worst way to die. Okay, and so what we see, however, in history is a lot of people got crucified, a lot of people, but there's only one guy that actually like beat it, like he died and then he came back. Okay, that's a very big problem. And so that one day, okay, that it's that simple idea that the secondary truth that we live in now. This is the day. We can say today with confidence, right? For those of us who trust in Jesus, we can say today, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And it's completely true. It's absolutely true. Right? And it's not just Sundays. It's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Especially Mondays, because, man, Mondays we need some extra grace, right? Especially if you're going to wake up, like, way early, right? Because you wake up, that's, you should just plaster it on your walls, right? To remind yourself. Because it's true. Even on a Monday, even when you don't want to wake up, right? Or even on just random days of the week when it's just terrible. Just nothing's going your way. This is the day the Lord has made. Right? I will rejoice and be glad in it. Okay? And it's totally true. Why? Because one day, there was one day in history when God picked, in which God, the Son, came and died and came back. Right? Interestingly enough, just as a kind of a side reference, if you read this in the original Hebrew, the phrase in verse 25, "O Lord, save us," in the Hebrew, it's actually pronounced Hosanna. Hosanna. So when you say Hosanna, that's what you're reading in verse 25, right? And it's interesting because guess what the crowds said to Jesus when he entered into Jerusalem on Good Friday? What they do? They lined up the streets, and as he rode the donkey into Jerusalem, he said what? The crowds were saying to him what? Hosanna, Hosanna. Okay, they were reading this verse, and they're like, "Oh, this is the guy." Okay, I mean, we're gonna talk about that more specifically, but you know, this is where they're going. They're getting that phrase from. They didn't just pull it out of nowhere. Anyway, so the one day. Okay, the second lesson we see is the joy of salvation. The joy of salvation. Where are we at? Verse 25. No, 24. The second part. Okay. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Okay. Rejoicing, joy, gladness, happiness. The pursuit of happiness. In American culture, the pursuit of happiness is a very big deal. It's so big that we even have it in our Declaration of Independence. Right? Declaration of Independence. Dude that lived in Virginia, right? Thomas Jefferson wrote it, right? That we're all endowed with from God, you know, the right to life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. However, there is a very important difference between what the modern American worldly definition of happiness is and what God defines as happiness. Sometimes the Bible uses the word happiness, sometimes it uses, but more usually, most often, it uses the word joy. Joy. Right? And some of us, we forget. This is why I always say, y'all gotta read your Bibles more, right? Because when you don't read your Bible, then you start thinking God is a grumpy dude and he's pissed off all the time. He's not. He's really not. God is not grumpy. God is actually quite happy. Right? Why? I mean, there's many reasons why. I mean, if you're God, you're king of the universe, and you're awesome, there's really no reason for you to be kind of angry. You know? But even more than that, he is a joyful God. You know, we read even the Gospels, and you're like, we just kind of focus on the parts where Jesus is like arguing with people, you know, and like he's like messing up the temple, he's like throwing stuff. That, like, in my mind, it's like Jesus Hulk, like, just go, like he's like throwing stuff, and, like, messing up people. Right? He's kind of like Noah, except he could fight better, right? But he's not, right? Because there's pictures of Jesus in between all those highlighted moments that we have in our minds. There's Jesus, you know, talking with people, especially in the healing. I imagine, seriously, like, think about it. Jesus is healing people that are, like, messed up. Like, they got messed up stuff. Like, dudes who can't walk. People who never even opened their eyes for in their entire lives. And you don't think Jesus is going to be like, okay, here we go. Okay, you're healed. Be happy. Go away. He doesn't do that. Are you serious? Like, if I had the power to heal people, that'd be awesome. I'm like, you're healed. You're healed. Let's do this thing. This is awesome. You know? And Jesus is a happy guy. He's a joyful guy. You know? And God is a joyful God. And we forget about that. And so when the Bible says, hey, rejoice, know who you are, come to me, the source of all joy, the source of true joy. Right? And so what we have in this verse is God saying, right, this is the day the Lord has made, let us rejoice and be glad in it, meaning this particular day in history happened so that because of that one day, or specifically that event with the crucifixion and resurrection, because of that occurrence, that event, we can have true joy. We have true gladness. Why? Because we are no longer slaves of sin. Because if we really trust in Jesus, then your fear of death is gone. Then you start getting almost reckless. You start getting dangerous. And you start spending your money and your time and your effort and your energy and your intellect on things of God and not on yourself. Why? Because if you, check it out, if there is a fear of death and you don't know what's going to happen when you die, then all what you're going to do is you're going to be like, oh man, okay, I don't know what, I'm going to die one day. But until then, because I don't know what's going to happen after that, what I'm going to do is I'm going to try to get as much stuff as I can. Or I'm going to try to eat the best stuff. I'm going to try to drive the best cars. I'm going to try to do this and that and this and that. I'm going to have the most fun. I'm going to maximize the fun I have. I'm going to maximize the fun in the time that I have now, because there is no eternity. The after death, who knows? But when we remember, right, the reason why Jesus comes back from the dead is like, hey, I told you, man, you die, that's not the end. There's more. And so when we start realizing that, then we start living dangerously. And we don't have to wait till we're older. We don't have to wait till we're in college. We don't have to wait till we're graduated from college. You can start living dangerously now. You know? And I always tell, I remind myself, so I, in order to do that, I tell you guys stories of people that I've met. And I love telling stories because it's in the stories that you see the fingerprints of God. You know? And this is why also I love telling other people from our different churches stories about you guys. And this is the ultimate reason why I buy you guys food. Because I want to hear your story. And sometimes I get really good sermon illustrations out of it. Right? That's an extra bonus. Right? But I share stories about, like, my friend Jonathan, for example. This man, as a high school student, he got on an airplane one summer to go to Ecuador. He stayed there for about a couple month or so. And he told me some funny stories that I can't repeat because I'm getting recorded, right? Things about, like, bathrooms in Ecuador, okay? This is like the mountains, not the city. This is like the mountains of Ecuador, right? And chickens, that's all I'm going to say. Okay? Just ask me after service and I'll tell you the story, right? And he came back fundamentally changed. And he's a smart guy. He was TJ grad. He was a TJ grad and a UVA grad. And he still loved Jesus. I know, they're rare, okay? But he was one of those guys. And I remember after, when he was in college, I was asking him, hey, so what are your plans for after college? Because he was in the pre-med program for UVA. And he said, I'm going to be a doctor. I was like, oh, dude. So if I get sick, you're going to heal me for free? He's like, no. What? Come on, man. Right? And, the reason he said no was I said, why? He said, I'm going to be a doctor. And then, once I become a doctor, you know, like a certified board doctor, like doctor, I was going to practice medicine for a couple of years because I got student loans to pay off, you know, in grad school, med school would pay off. Okay, that makes sense. I said, what are you going to do after that? He's like, after that, I'm going to buy a one-way ticket to Ecuador. You may or may not see me after. Oh. It's like, yeah, I'm pretty sure God doesn't really need me to be a doctor, but I think it'll help. That's the mindset that he had. Right? And this is like in college. Let me tell you another story. In high school, right? And sometimes, some of you guys know this story, right? Phil, my friend Phil and I, you know, and Jonathan, we hung out a lot. And one Sunday after church, we're like, hey, Jonathan, so where are we going to go eat for dinner? He goes, I can't go eat dinner with you guys. We're like, why? He's like, I'm going to Africa. What's in Africa? I'm going on a mission for 2 weeks. Like, what? Like, he just randomly just jumped on an airplane to Africa for 2 weeks. Like, what? Why? And it's not even like he didn't even go to the city. See, like, he was a part of a team that literally just walked from town to town. And that was his thing. He loved it. And if you met him, this guy, he doesn't care about cars, he doesn't care about money, like all the stuff that his friends and his generation of guys and his classmates cared about, he didn't care about any of it. Like, he literally couldn't care less. The only kind of money care that he had was, you know, I have enough money to, like, put gas in my car to go from here to there, you know, or I have enough money to, like, feed myself. That was it. Like, you know? And so, the joy, right? So, what God is seeing here is there is the difference between this temporary, flawed, broken, even silly and shallow happiness that the world is so focused on and so crazy about. And there is this true, eternal, lasting joy that God has. And it only happens in Christ. Right? And it only happens because of that day. Right? And so from that day on, when we trust in Jesus, we have this joy. It doesn't mean that your life is always going to be easy. It doesn't mean that our life is always going to be happy. But it means that there is this, though, as a Christian, there is this joy that we are all supposed to have. That even in the spite of pain and suffering, we still have joy. Not that we laugh through everything, but that even through our tears never wash away our joy. Our pain never kills our joy. Because ultimately our joy is in Christ. Or ultimately our joy is in God, who is the source of all joy, all true joy. And so last lesson we see is prosperity. Oh man, we can talk about prosperity and we can talk about some of my favorite characters on the TV and the radio. But one thing that we can say about prosperity here, it's a little bit like the joy, but mainly in terms of prosperity, in terms of not just monetary goods and trinkets and toys. As boys, man, we love toys. Our desire for toys never stops. It starts when we're like 5 and it ends like a year after we're dead. Because we always want to get stuff. Like, it never stops. Right? Like, some of us, we buy like Pokemon game. And we're like, oh, this is so good. And then like a year later, like a new one comes out and you're like, oh, but that's so much better. Right. For more mature guys, we're like, oh, I got a car, and it's awesome. Now I'm going to spend a lot of money and put stuff in it. And then you're like, oh, okay. And then they're like, what the? And then you see another guy with the same car with better stuff. You're like, what the? Dude. Okay, that's me. Confession time. That's me. Right. So I got to be careful. But the prosperity that America, and even if we all just went home and turned the TV on, you see like commercials, man. It's, you know. And so we're really careful about our TV. So the only commercial that baby sees is like football season. And the NBA games are coming up. That's all he sees. Like football, basketball, and cars. Okay. Like, this is how you fix your car. Right? You look like a baby mechanic genius. Okay. That's what we're working at. But if we were... to go home and turn the TV on, man, it's like advertisement after advertisement about this and that. If you do this, you will feel better. If you do this, you'll be younger. if you do this, all your stretch marks go away. If you do this, your bald head is no longer bald, you know? And all that stuff. You're like, what? All right? And so that's what the world is trying to sell. God, however, on the other hand, isn't trying to sell that. He's not very interested in that prosperity because, number one, he knows that that's not real prosperity. That's a temporary drug. You know what the worst thing about drugs are? Like, straight up, like, I'm talking crack and weed and all that stuff. You know what the worst thing about those are? They promise you something. It's a little bit like sin. It's a lot like sin. They promise you something, they always underdeliver. And one thing I learned about drugs in the health class is what? The more you do it, the less of a high you get. And so what do you got to do? You got to up the quantity, right? Like, you got to do, like, more drug. Why are you shaking your head? Okay. You got to do more to get that same high that you used to. Right? And this, you know, prosperity, and that's what the world is trying to sell. And God is like, no, man. Isaiah 55 is another favorite passage of mine, right? You know what Isaiah 55, in Isaiah 55, God says through Isaiah, hey, what are you doing? Stop spending your money and your life on useless, fading things. Because these things, they will make you feel happy for a short time, maybe even for a long time, but in the ultimate end, it will leave you high and dry. I read this article about this guy in California. He had a lot of money. Very successful guy. And he was single. Had a bunch of money. He had the cars. He had temporary girlfriends. He had temporary friends. But he always felt lonely. So what he did was he would just go on random shopping sprees. The kind of shopping sprees that we would all dream about. Right? And he said he would just go to a mall. He would just go into a store and just buy whatever he wanted. Without ever thinking, oh man, this is expensive. He said he would literally just walk in like, I like it. Cool. He said he would even buy stuff that he didn't even like. But he just kind of got it anyway. And he confesses in the interview. He confesses that that 15 minute drive from the mall to his house in his convertible is awesome. He's like, it's awesome. But by the time he pulls into his driveway, he's in tears. Because he's like, the high is gone. I'm home, alone. I got all this stuff, but what am I going to do with it? And you know, that's the prosperity that the world sells. And God knows, yo man, that's going to leave you high and dry. It's going to leave you like that guy. And we work so hard trying to get that stuff. Right? In the 90s, like they would interview like these popular rappers. They're like, hey, why are you doing all this stuff? And they're like, man, I'm trying to get money. Got to get money. Got to make paper. Right? But two of the brightest stars in rap, you know, in history of rap, got gunned down in the middle of their getting like hype, you know? Like they were the best. Messed up. Why? Because they're going for the world's prosperity. God's prosperity, totally different scale, totally different thing. It sounds the same, totally different thing. Because God's prosperity is what? Eternal life. It's the kingdom of God. Right? It's the kingdom of God. And so what we see in Jesus is, you got to think of Jesus as a conquering king. But he doesn't have an army. He doesn't need one. He goes one-man army status, right? Shows up, all-conquering hero. And he doesn't fight people and mess up people with a huge sword, though he can. What does he do? He conquers people by loving them. He conquers people by dying for them. And for many of us, we need to remember, hey man, he conquered me too. I was one of those idiots who lined up against God, and he beat me. By loving me, and by washing me up. And so what we see in terms of this word prosperity is, not the prosperity of our physical goods or, you know, trinkets and toys, but the prosperity of Christ's kingdom. Do you ever think about that? The kingdom of God prospers. You know what that means? That means, number one, it doesn't shrink. Number two, nothing can stop it. Number three, it keeps on growing. Not by physical borders, not of that, but by territorial gains in people. The kingdom of God grows by God conquering Sung, Brandon, Joseph. Right? And as Jay once said, he's passed out now. Right? How can God love someone like me? But he does. And he conquers us. You know? And so this is why I say to you, ultimately, we see that there was one day, right? There was a song that Johnny sings once in a while, right? Talks about there was a day where God picked, where God decided, okay, I'm going to go and save my people. Right? There was one day. And so that's why, because of that one day, the crucifixion, and most importantly, the Easter Sunday, oh man, we can say to ourselves and also to each other, hey, this is the day the Lord has made. So let us all rejoice and be glad in it. Let's pray.